Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design, thoughtful construction, and little details that make life in your space easier. And now they're bringing that comfort and style outside with their outdoor collection. Burrow's outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry stain-resistant foam cushions. As always, you get free shipping on every order. Get 15% off at burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
In this podcast, we chat about the win against Millwall, look ahead at the Teesweir Derby, and answer your podcast questions. This is the Borough Breakdown podcast, and this is all your Borough Match Day chatter in a pod.
Want support? Curtis Fleming is there on the edge of the air. Fleming for Craig Hignett. Hit it, Higgy. Higgy hits the track.
Abanelli coming alive again. Janino wants the ball played to him. Abanelli spots out.
Hello and welcome to the Borough Breakdown podcast with Johnny, Dana and Tom. We are the Borough podcast that gives you all of your Borough matchday chatter in a podcast. And four wins in a row for Borough move Borough up to fourth place in the championship table. Guys, the word four seems to be the word of the day. So I'm going to ask you how you're feeling in four words. Dana Moll, how are you feeling in four words?
We are insanely mint, am I, four words. And I remember the reverse fixture at the Den against Millwall, and we had this big conversation around the application of the players and not having any leaders. I mean, that conversation always seems to pop up anyway. But the second goal that we conceded that afternoon, Zian Fleming's second, it was just a real lack of responsibility being taken by the players. Nobody owned up to that situation. It was a set piece, nodded back at the back post, I think. And he was completely free. So there was just a general lack of responsibility being taken and control being taken of that set piece. And yesterday it was the flip opposite of that. There were players that were taking control of the game. Johnny House in the second half was fantastic. Dale Fry headed everything away. Some fantastic interceptions and tackles from Tommy Smith. So, and they were just three players, really. It was just a nice flag in the sand that Borough planted yesterday of the progression that we've seen. And I can't believe it, really. I mean, seven wins in eight under Michael Carrick is really impressive, because I think he's beyond his new manager bounce now. I would say that's the first five or six games, but I think yesterday was his 12th. So it's really impressive how he's been able to turn things around at Middlesbrough. It seems like we are, I don't want to say the real deal, but this is more than just a flash in the pan. You know, this is the Middlesbrough that we're seeing now, and, you know, we deserve to be where we are, which is really good.
Tom?
So my four words would be had to be tough. I thought yesterday Millwall played, I mean, you've said it in our group chat yesterday, Millwall played exactly as you'd expect Millwall to play. They're always a tough team to play. They're always a physical team. The ref seemed to be happy to kind of like let the game go quite a lot, which was absolutely fine, but it was a very physical game. And I think lesser teams could cave in that situation. I think if your mentality is not all there, it could get into your heads that, you know, you're getting battered at times. But I think it kind of really joins up with what Dana was saying there about everyone kind of taking responsibility. There was no one who wasn't up for the challenge yesterday. Everyone played extremely well, kept their focus on the target. And I think even when we went 1-0 up and Jake Cooper ended up getting subbed off for them, I think Millwall could have easily crumbled as well, but it seemed to serve more of a wake-up call for them. And then they spent, you know, large spells on the attack from there, I would say. But we defended really well and really resolutely from there. And again, just kind of goes to show the mentality we have. I think Dale Fry said it in his post-match interview, where he says everyone's really focused on getting that clean sheet. I think, you know, credit to everyone for getting that, getting the lead, keeping hold of it, and coming back with a free, well, coming back, we were at home, but coming away with a 3 points yesterday.
No, I agree with you both. Like, it was a really good display yesterday. But my four words are going to be a clean sheet, Don. I think it's always really good to have a clean sheet. And, you know, I think after the Millwall game, it was, why is our defence so rubbish? Why can't we defend anymore? We need to improve on this the most. And, you know, to get a clean sheet after that is, it kind of nullifies the comments that come out. But I think defensively we were okay yesterday. A very sensible display, really. I think it was, although it was a good win, maybe I'm taking it for granted a little bit, but I just felt it was just dead sensible. We played reasonably well. Everyone played like good, but like it was at a good way. Like, no one was a massive standout. It was just like everyone was good on the day. They did their jobs, and we were really professional in how we played, and we were able to break a tough Millwall side down in that compact shape that they were in. And it was really, really good, and it shows credentials that we can break teams down, and also we can rally when we need to, when the game starts to go their way, and we're able to come away with the 3 points. But Tom, how would you assess the overall performance against Millwall?
Well, like I said, they were a difficult team to play against yesterday. I thought, I do think they're doing really well this season, and it shows. I was on the Millwall podcast opposition preview show the other day, and what they'd said to me was their away form kind of was really up and down this season. They never really knew which Millwall they were going to get when they go away from home, and they wouldn't have been surprised if, you know, they kind of turned up expecting the draw. They said, you know, obviously everyone always wants to win, but I can see it was kind of setting up for to try and take like a draw and just get a point from this game. And I would agree with that assessment. It did seem like that yesterday. They did have chances, but I don't think they really threatened us too much. I never kind of really felt like we were in a lot of danger. There was only one point in the first half, I think it was, where I can't remember which of their players it was, but was allowed to run through the middle with no one kind of like really closing down. They were kind of stepping off and closing down the angles, and the shot ended up going straight at Zach Steffen. But that's kind of really all I can remember them doing. That said, it took a lot for us to break them down. And again, going in nil-nil at halftime, I did think that, you know, we're going to come out second half better for it. And then we've spoke about it before. It's just a feeling I'm regularly getting now with Borough, even if we're going in like a goal down, knowing that we can come out second half and turn it around. I didn't think Force was having a good game first half. And as well at half time, I was thinking, he's going to come back out and have an absolute like blinder here and probably end up scoring, and he did. Like, I don't know, it's weird with Borough at the moment. Like, going in at half time, someone could be having one of the worst games you've ever seen them have. Not that Force was any yesterday anyway, but just knowing that they're going to come out completely different second half. You know, we kept pushing, kept trying to break them down. Got that goal eventually. And like I said, as soon as we got that goal and Jake Cooper went off injured, like in the next couple of minutes afterwards, it could have gone two ways from there. It could have been that we continued on and you know, got that second and kind of carried on in that way. But it really did seem to be a wake-up call for them. And I think it showed two very different but good sides of our game yesterday. The creativeness to get the goal in the first place, but also, like I say, the resoluteness to hold on to that lead and keep the clean sheet as well.
I want to come back to the first half and the second half, or vice versa, and how Borough were able to influence games in different halves. We'll come to that a little bit later on. We talk about the form, but Dana, I just want to hear your thoughts as well, because another win for Borough, 7 wins out of 8, like we mentioned at the start, it's something that we're really building on. But how would you like assess things as well?
I just want to pick up on something Tom said there about, you know, Force and him playing out wide. There's just parts of Borough's game that shouldn't click, but they are, like Crooks up front, Force out wide, Akpom playing in that deeper role. It's just all very good at the moment. And I think we saw yesterday a different part of our game. We have been playing well, but I think we played a little bit of the ugly stuff yesterday and we had to dig in. I think Dale Fry said it after the game, it's always going to be ugly against Millwall because they make it so. And Borough negotiated that really, really well. They were set up in a very structured 4-2-3-1 and at times a 4-3-3 out of possession with Zian Fleming and Voglesammer sort of trying to push on, but they weren't really pressing. They were more cutting off those passing avenues to Houston and Hackney, who tend to have a big influence on proceedings and basically progressing the ball through the third. So I think at times, we had to be patient. And there was a lot of impatience around me in my seat in the East Stand. I didn't quite understand it because, as Tom touched on there, we are a good team at coming back after the break and really seizing the game and stepping it up. And I wouldn't say that that's because we've been poor in the first half. It's just, as I've mentioned before on this podcast, the natural progression of that football match. And we saw that yesterday. We did have to stick it out and we did have to be incredibly patient. And I'm glad that we saw that yesterday because it's just a different side to our game that we saw. And We did negotiate it really, really well. So I'm glad that we saw that yesterday. And, you know, when we needed that moment, we got that moment through Force. And I will say, he's part of my praising place, but Tuba Akpom was absolutely brilliant yesterday. He didn't score, but when I'm saying there, they basically shut out that middle part of the pitch and the influence that Houston and Hackney had. You saw Akpom time and time again drop deep, try to link the play, give the likes of Paddy McNair and Dale Fry the option, and Tommy Smith as well, which of course we scored from the situation of Tommy Smith feeding into Bratbomb, who dropped deep at that point. It was just a really, really professional, as you've said, Johnny, performance that ticks yet another box for Michael Carrick.
Yeah, and that professional side of things, you know, games aren't always going to be exciting. You know, you need a bit of patience in games. And I think I can understand why fans get frustrated, because you want to be heavy metal football. You want to have so many chances. You want to score 30 goals in a game. There'll still be someone that mourns at the end of it. But, you know, it's the aspect of, you know, you've got to calm down and understand that it is process sometimes, and you've got to just play through games. And you might not always get the right result on the day, but over time it'll compound and you'll hopefully try and get something good in the long run, because all the Borough's underlying numbers have been good this season. It was only a matter of time. You have to understand what process can we do, a tweak here and there, can we change the environment and improve with Michael Carrick, and we have started to get results. But I was intrigued yesterday by Millwall, and you know, it was like professional performance and how Millwall set up and how we speak about shape. And when you were saying that, then about 4-2-3-1, I found that Millwall were in a 4-4-2 for long periods of the game yesterday. In a 4-4-2 where you're looking to try and have compactness with it out of possession. So what will happen is you're 9 and you're 10, or the 4-3-1, or sometimes a 4-3-3, because you can adapt your shape with a 4-4-2, because it can be quite flexible in how you operate it to be. But it gives you a nice balance. And that balance and what Millwall were trying to do yesterday was to create a mid-block, enforce Borough wide, control the central areas. And interestingly, when you do have this type of play in motion, you have about 4, 5, 6 players in the box when Borough try and cross the ball in, get the ball out, keep it nice and compact, nice balance, and just try and force Borough to try and play through. And Borough did that really, really well yesterday. And what you'll found is in Borough's shape is that we probably weren't in a standard 4-2-3-1. And you won't sit in, if you look at Borough's shape for all of the games under Michael Carrick, we don't really play a 4-2-3-1. It's still a 3 at some points in the game, where you've got Tommy Smith, Dale Fry, and yesterday was Paddy McNair occupying that 3. what really interested me yesterday was how high Ryan Giles was up the pitch. And Borough were technically playing a 3-2-5 for more periods in the game. And you can see this with a lot of teams this season with more possession-based teams are looking to try and occupy this 3-2-5 space because, one, you can help play through the lines, and two, you get your wing-backs forward, and also you try and get the ball into the mid-thirds and through the lines of what they were playing with a 4-2-3-1. The downside of a 4-4-2 or 4-2-3 at times, it can be really strenuous in midfield because if Borough are trying to pass the ball from side to side, which they did, they had 66% possession yesterday, 85% pass success. Once you try and get from ball to side, you've got some space in behind. If the gap between your centre-back and your centre-midfielder is a little bit too big, you've got the likes of Tchouaméni, you've got the likes of Ryan McGree to try and get in behind in those little spaces, and you'll get the ball through the middle, and then you'll try and get the ball out wide. So then you're stretching a team nice and out, and then from that, you're able to get the ball in the box. You've pulled a couple of defenders out, and you should have the space in the middle to get a shot away. With Borough's goal yesterday, obviously we'll come to it in just a moment, Dana, but we found that yesterday, get the ball in the middle, get the ball out wide, stretch the midfield out, and then hopefully you'll get in behind and create a chance from there. And Borough did that really, really well yesterday. But Borough's shape's really interesting. We could do probably a little bit more on it in the next couple of podcasts, but Borough's shape is being really good. We combated that 4-4-2, 4-2-3-1 shape that Millwall trying to occupy. But they just came yesterday, they came for a point. Fine for them to come for a point. It's a difficult place to come for a team really in form. But the way that they played was just very balanced across the pitch. They didn't really want to give too much away going forward. They didn't want to give too much away going in behind. And they were happy just to sit in, get the ball in possession, get on the press from McNair, or if someone gave it away midfield, they were able to press with numbers and get forward. But Borough really, really good yesterday, limiting that. But in terms of Borough's play, Dana, it was a game of patience because, like we were saying, they're the compact shape nature of it. They're looking to try and frustrate Borough, win the ball in certain areas. The press was really key on McNair yesterday for periods. But how were they able to break through in the second half?
I think it was just a culmination of that patience, really. Howson really impressed me in that second half because I think he was dropping into the space between the lines a lot more that allowed the progression of play through the thirds. It allowed the defence to have an option there, much like, you know, Akpom dropping deep from an attacking position. I think Howson was getting into those key pockets, and we were good at, and we have been good under Carrick, I have to say, at picking up those key areas of a football match and dictating the game based on space. And Howson in that second half managed to do that. And I think he was imperative, really, to obviously the goal, because it was his ball played to Marcus Forss that just cuts through Millwall. And I'll talk about that in a minute. But I also thought Millwall tried to step on us a little bit more in that second half. And I think because of that, Borough were able to maybe pick them off a little bit more. In the first half, they were sat back, they were sat in, they tried to contain us. And I think they probably had Borough in less dangerous positions and less dangerous areas of the football match, which I think at halftime, Gary Rowett would have liked. He probably would have wanted to see a little bit more attacking venom from them. But at the end of the day, I think he was by large limiting Borough to areas of the pitch that they would want to. But then in the second half, I did notice they tried to step on us a little bit more, and then Borough were able to play through that because of, you know, Akpom, the influence that he had on the game. And then also Howson just honestly took the baton and said, I'm going to seize control of this football match. And he absolutely did. And he was brilliant in that second half. And the goal just epitomised the patience, and we got our just rewards for sticking in that game, dominating possession, making sure that we were the ones that were in control in the driver's seat. And it was, I think, personnel definitely impacted that second half. Influential players stepped up, and yeah, Borough reaped the rewards from that.
Yeah, and they did reap the rewards. That was such a handful to say.
That's why I slowed it right down.
As I was saying, I was like, this is really difficult to get out. But we did get the breakthrough, Marcus Forss, the wonderful Marcus Forss, our Finnish delight. Dana, do you want to take this goal breakdown? Because it was a good goal for Borough. It was nice to see that they're coming in and out from the midfield, get the ball in behind. He does get a little bit of luck from the deflection, but it's a lovely, lovely goal, isn't it?
yeah, he earned it, to be fair, with the run that he made, and Borough's play in general in that move was really good. I feel like we're collecting a lot of good goals under Michael Carrick. I come on here and I break these goals down, and I'm like, I really enjoyed that goal. I just feel like I'm seeing that a lot more. But I think Borough were trying to break through, as I said, you know, very structured out of possession with Millwall, and our main avenue of attack was through those wide areas, as they do tend to be under Carrick. But our midfield influence, our attack through the middle of the park, was down on what it tends to be. It doesn't tend to be particularly high percentage-wise anyway, but 19% of our attacks came through the middle, which is lower than the past two home games. And because of that, we had to try to dictate the game and dictate our attacks through those flanks and also the half spaces as well. And what you saw with the goal, it is absolutely brilliant from Chubrat-Pomme. He is playing at such a high level at the moment where he can drop deep, he takes the ball, he commits four players to him, because at one point I think it's Sean Hutchinson that comes over to him and then eventually ends up trying to take Marcus Force, who's making that run in behind. But you've got three players, Vogelsammer, Callum Stiles, and I don't know who that third person is, but three Millwall players on him there. And that just opens up space that Johnny Howson receives the ball from Chubrat-Pomme, who's backed into these players and gives the ball to Howson. And it just opens up so much of a good area for Howson to thread that ball through to Marcus Force. And he sees that opportunity and he takes it. And Marcus Force has obviously made that run in behind. And it's just what I said there about trying to attack the key spaces of a football match. Chubrat-Pomme has opened up that avenue for Johnny Howson to be able to play that pass. It is absolutely brilliant number 10 work from Chubrat-Pomme, who, again, I will say, although he didn't score, he was pivotal to not only that goal, but that win, because his game, dropping deep, trying to pick up those pockets of space, trying to take players out of position, it was really good to watch. And then obviously Marcus Force gets lucky. I think he decks Sean Hutchinson with a shot. I think it knocks him over, such is the sheer force of Force's shot. And, you know, it was a fantastic finish with his left foot through the legs of Callum Stiles into the corner of the net. It was just a really, really good goal that, you know, Borough, we see this quite often with trying to get in behind and Atpom dropping deep and influencing the game that way. It was a really, really good goal from us. And I was so glad that it was scored, because I was freezing in that game and I wanted to get up so badly and celebrate a goal. I think the West Stand had two goals to celebrate, didn't they? Because they were celebrating the one in the first half that did not go in, which was such a sight to see them all celebrating and then realise it wasn't a goal. But yeah, brilliant. Brilliant. And Marcus Force, you know, getting in amongst the goals, it's working. Him out wide is working, and he can't drop him because he's getting in amongst it, which is brilliant to take that bit of a burden, if you could say it's a burden, off Chubrat-Pomme.
Yeah, to be fair, Dana, the West will get their run back on the East. You know, it will happen. It might happen on the north side, but it will happen. So you can enjoy that moment while you can. You've been an East End resident, but in the West, I feel like the Westlanders will come back with a vengeance at some point. But yeah, like we were saying, though, Dana, on the goal and around space, and how can we attack space? And we've seen that in many, many games. It was like I was mentioning earlier. How can we generate space from the central areas to get the ball out wide and get in behind and occupy and attack space? And we've seen it a lot, like Akpom coming in, bringing defenders with him. What does that do? It generates space in behind. So trying the 1-2, get it out wide. And that's how we find a lot of our success. And Marcus Force was deserving of his goal yesterday, but he has took Isaiah Jones' place in the squad, in the 11, and he wasn't even in the squad yesterday, Isaiah Jones. And after the game, Matt Carrick said that, we just pick the squad for how we see it. He's fit. We just want to get him back playing well, look after him and help him and get him back to his best. Tom, what's your thoughts on that? Because it was interesting to see him not in the squad yesterday.
Yeah, I think it's interesting man management from Carrick. And I think recently he's probably had a couple of the, I just want to say the first real test, because I'm sure there's been others. You know, he had to pick everyone up as soon as he came in recently, really. But Yeah, I think he's had a couple of interesting challenges recently, you know, making sure that the squad weren't too downhearted and heads didn't go down after the Brighton game. But also Jones hadn't really been himself for a few games. And I feel like he's got that most of the season from some sections like on Twitter and stuff like that. And generally you can kind of look at his stats and say he's only got slightly less in terms of goal involvements than last season. So he is still being effective, even if, you know, people are kind of saying he doesn't run at people anymore, he doesn't kind of take on his man and beat him anymore. He's just playing a different kind of game. That said, like I said, the last few games he hadn't really been playing to the best of his abilities, in my opinion. It's interesting to kind of drop him, give him some time out of the team to hopefully kind of come back firing. We all know the ability he has. I don't think for a second this is Carrick saying like, oh, he's done, or, you know, we're going to get rid of him in January or anything like that. I think it's an interesting way of kind of managing Jones, and hopefully it works well and he comes back into the team and kind of shows, you know, back to his top form.
How do you think he gets back into the side then, Tom? Obviously we had a question from Dave McNally, which is the same question, but how do you think he gets back in?
Well, hard work. I think he's got to show it on the training grounds. I'm sure he will. You know, he's got the attitude to do it, and I don't know, maybe he just needs to kind of like get out of his own head. It did seem like sometimes when he's trying to take a man on or, you know, put a cross, and he's overthinking it and trying a little bit too hard. So yeah, just hard work on the training ground, and, you know, hopefully that time out will do him well, and I'm sure he'll get his chance again to get back into the team. And, you know, just need to take it when he does.
Playing a devil's advocate, then, do you think it could be a sign that he might be out the door in January? Or do you think it's just a resting?
No, I don't think he'll be out the door. I mean, we've got very little options on the right anyway. I think potentially that might have played a part in the decision to put Marcus Forrest there to start with. Although that could also just be he saw something in training, much like how he did with Tjuberat-Pom, and thought that Marcus Forrest could play that right wing role. But I don't think he will be out the door. I just can't see that happening, because Jones, when he is on form, is a very, very good player, and he's a very dangerous player, and he's a very good weapon to have in Borough's armoury. So taking that away, I think, in terms of the squad, would take away a very good option in that squad. And I don't think he'll be off. This is just how he reacts to it now. And as Tom said, in training, in cameos that he gets, if he gets on the pitch against Sunderland, it's how he reacts to that. You know, Carrick has given him a mission here, basically, to respond. And Carrick's not afraid to drop players, is he? I mean, he dropped Cristiano Ronaldo. He was the first one to see the light before everyone else did. So, yeah, it's I think it's good. I would say it's good man management from Carrick. He was honest, but he wasn't brutal. And it's just, they do want to help him get back to his best. And sometimes you just need to almost reset. So hopefully we could get Jones back to, you know, the form of last season. But remember, as I said last week, it's a different setup. It's a different manager. It's a different formation, different tactics. It's not going to be exactly the same. But hopefully we could get him back and performing well.
With someone who's been absent, but I want to talk about someone who's been ever-present, and that has been for probably 200 games now. It's Dale Fry. 200th appearance for Borough yesterday. It feels... God, like, I can't believe it was like against Preston under Aito Karankari made his debut. That feels a long, long time ago, that. But, you know, he's still really young still. He's got a wealth of experience. But how do you think he's been playing as of late, Dana? Because he seems to slowly come back to his best again.
Yeah, and I completely forgot that he was out of the team at the beginning of the season. It was mentioned to him by Mark Jury on BBC Tees yesterday. And it's really weird to think that, because, when I think of Dale Fry over the past few seasons, I have thought ever present. But he spoke incredibly well after the match yesterday, and I was pleasantly surprised by that, because in the past I think you've probably heard Dale Fry talk like a young player, you know, much like how you hear of quite a few where it just sounds like they don't want to be a part of the interview. They're just saying as little as they can to try to get out of it. And in a way, I feel like his quite self-assured interview yesterday is in turn a way of, you know, it sort of feeds into his performances on the pitch as well, because he has really grown. He's a lot stronger, a lot more of a physical presence. And this really started last season, I think, or probably the season, a little bit of the season before under Warnock, where he was really stepping up and standing out in defence. He was absolutely fantastic yesterday. The amount of times that I saw Dale Fry just leap in the air and head the ball away was brilliant. It was ridiculous, but it was brilliant. And he was absolutely fantastic. I think in terms of aerial duel percentage, 71% won, which I think was quite low compared to what I thought it was and what it was yesterday before Fort Mob updated their stats. But it was just a really strong performance from him. And if it wasn't for House's second half display, I would probably say Dale Fry man of the match. But just such an assured person as well as an assured player. You know, I think they go hand in hand there. So really happy to see Dale Fry. I was there for his debut against Preston in that away end, a deep deal. I think it was 0-0. And he's just grown massively. I think, admittedly, for him, it probably has taken a while because he was on the periphery a lot of the time. He wasn't quite the main man in defence, but he's absolutely the main man in defence now. And yeah, really happy with his performance. He was brilliant yesterday.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design, thoughtful construction, and little details that make life in your space easier. And now they're bringing that comfort and style outside with their outdoor collection. Burrow's outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry stain-resistant foam cushions. As always, you get free shipping on every order. Get 15% off at burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
He was. But let's move on to Borough's form. But actually, you know, just before we do that, I want to give a little plug for our merch at the moment, because as a lot of people are aware that we partnered up with Teesside this season, and all of our merch that Teesside make goes to the Morton Urine Disease Association. So everything that you buy goes 100% of it goes to the MNDA, which is really cool. But our merch is pretty amazing. We've got some Shithouse Ireland t-shirts, the Maltkers t-shirts, some Board Breakdown hats, some mugs, and much more. And we've got some stuff coming in the next couple of weeks. And how can you find that? Well, if you look in your podcast provider or in your video in your description on YouTube, The website will be there. But if you listen to us and you're thinking, how do I go there? It's t-side.co.uk and then /collections, and then you'll find the board breakdown stuff there. So click on it. Like I said, 100% of it goes to the MNDA, and that helps us raise over £3,000 for the Motor Neurone Disease Association, and that is really, really cool. Now let's chat about Boris form then, shall we? Because 7 wins in 8, 4 wins in a row, 2.2 points per match under Michael Carrick. Tom, last week it was all doom and gloom, 5-1 defeat to Brighton. They went on to beat Liverpool yesterday, 3-0. So much for it's only Brighton, eh? But are you glad with how well Boris reacted yesterday?
Well, firstly, I'll say at least we scored, so we are clearly better than Liverpool. But really happy with the reaction yesterday. I think I was a bit wary going into the game after that 5-1 loss. I think there's a couple of ways that it could potentially go after that. It could just be the heads are down, and you know it does take a while to pick back up, but it seemed very much kind of business as usual yesterday. It was like Carrick had said in his press conference, like everyone was just kind of told to forget about it, move on, and you know we go again in the Championship, and it definitely seemed that like that was the case. I didn't see any kind of hangover from that loss yesterday, and like I say, very much business as usual. So that is giving me confidence in this team, and you know, confidence for the next couple of games as well, which are going to be really tough.
Are you surprised, Tom, at how well we've been able to turn this around? Because, like, and obviously take the Brighton game out of it, because that's just a one-off, but from where we were in October to now, it's incredible, right? No one could have seen that coming.
No, I don't think anyone could have. I know us three didn't really know what to expect from Carrick when he came in. He was a bit of an unknown quantity, really. We'd only really kind of had his three matches in charge of Man United to go off. But the way that he set us up tactically, but also managed to pick the players up, get the, you know, improve the team cohesion, and you can see it on the pitch now. You know, after Forster's goal yesterday, I think it was only Zach Steffen who wasn't up the pitch, you know, 90 yards away from him celebrating, which you can understand, but everyone went and joined in with that celebration. You can see the togetherness of the team and the way we're set up now, the football we're playing. I think I will say I knew we could do it, because the team that we built for the start of this season, it was clear that we were going for promotion or playoffs with the team that we had. And we've been assembled to play possession football. We obviously weren't playing that way under Wilder at the start of the season because of all the individual mistakes and stuff like that. Really, I think it was only individual mistakes lined with one person by the looks of it now. But we knew we could do this, and it's you know, credit to Carrick and the coaching team that they've been able to bring it out of the players and really kind of turn it around from where we were, what, 21st, 22nd in the league to now. And I said on the Millwall podcast the other day, like, we've got Millwall, Sunderland, Watford in the next three games. If we come out of that with, you know, at least 6 or 7 points, but ideally, you know, if we won all 9, if we come out of that with 3 wins, I'm going to be extremely confident for the rest of the season, and that is just absolute credit to Carrick, because I think one of the things that keeps coming to my mind now is one of the questions that we had after Carrick was appointed, where it's like, if you could take 15th now, would you take it? I'd said no at the time.
I said yes.
I'd said no at the time, thinking I wouldn't want to kind of limit us, but I didn't think, you know, we'd be where we are. I thought, you know, 6th, 7th, 8th, that sort of area, but I didn't think at that point we'd, you know, in what was it, 12 games time, be 4th in the Championship. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, and I feel like you need to mention, as you were talking there, you did do a quotations mark, and I just realised people that listening will have no idea that you did a quotations mark about individual errors, but we'll let that slide. But yeah, on the turn it around, then where do you think we can go now? You know, obviously you said that you were happy with 15th at one point, but now where do you think we can go for the rest of the season?
I think we'll be in the top six. Fairly confident in saying we'll finish there. I don't know whether I'm going to jinx it or whether I should maybe calm down my confidence there, but I just think the Championship is crap, to put it bluntly. And I mean, that's not a slant on Borough. I think Borough have been brilliant, and that's why I think we'll be in the top six. But yeah, I think we can get into the top six. Whether or not we can win the playoffs, I do not know. I'd be wary of certain teams, but I think the way that we're going, obviously we're still going to endure some bumps, it's going to happen. But I think I'm pretty confident in just the whole ensemble that we have right now under Carrick. He's very calm, he's very assured. I think he's a manager that if we do get beat, we can react fairly well. So yeah, I think we can get into the top six, and you know where we place there, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, I don't know. Second, maybe, I don't know. I still think that second place is up for grabs. Not quite now, but I do think Sheffield United will have a little bit of a wobble, but I do think we'll end up in the playoffs. I'm not usually confident, I must admit. I err on the side of caution. I'm quite pessimistic at times as well, but I do think we'll get into the top six come the end of the season.
Yeah, I do as well. You know, it's a weird league, the Championship, but it's still like 4 or 5 points separate, like the fourth to about 13th or something silly like that.
Yeah, it's mad.
We'll have a look and we'll confirm that, but I could be wrong. But yeah, it's you know, obviously it can be a slide, the Championship, but I think we've been really good over the last few weeks. How can we not have been good? Do you know what I mean? To win 7 out of the last 8. The way we're playing, like Tom mentioned as well, like he's been able to pick this group up from the despair of the relegation zone to now, and it's really, really promising. But we'll move on to questions now, because every week you get to send in your questions, and that's via Twitter at @theborough_breakdown, or email at theborroughbreakdown@hotmail.com, or by joining our Telegram chat, where there's over 290 Borough fans talking everything probably but Borough, as per usual. But we do have a good laugh on match days as well. But the first question is from Yaj, and it was on Twitter, and he says, why are so many people giving Stefan a hard time? Is it justified? I like him. Miles better than anything we've had for years. Really good distribution. A little suspect on crosses, but he'll take that. Tom, why are so many people giving Stefan a hard time? I don't know why. I don't know why, but what do you think?
I have absolutely no idea. Clearly unhappy with the clean sheet that we had yesterday. But to be fair, that's not all on Stefan. But I think it's literally just because of the new style of play that we have and playing out from the back and, you know, trying to play through the press. I'll be fair with criticism. I think Stefan made one bad decision yesterday. I think it was playing at the house, and when he had about 3 players on him on the edge of the box, we did make it out of that situation, but it was a bit nervy, and I think that's kind of amplified when you're a goalkeeper and you're making a mistake like that. But in terms of his distribution, that is absolutely key to our game now. And I get that, you know, there's still a certain amount of supporters who would like to see us just boot it long from a goal kick, but it's not what a possession-based team's kind of built on, and we are clearly confident in playing out from the back. And I think Stefan's a massive part of that. I think what people would see is if we go into next season and, you know, we haven't extended his loan, we haven't signed him or anything like that, I have absolutely no idea what Solbrin's distribution's like. But, you know, we're hearing how highly rated he is. Potentially he could come into the team next season. I think you would notice a real difference in the way that we play out from the back under a lot of other goalkeepers. Let's not forget, he's came from City, had the same sort of coaching, and he is the same style of player as Edison, who is for me, one of the most enjoyable goalkeepers to watch just for his distribution. You know, he might not be the best shot stopper out there or anything like that, but for the way that City play, he's absolutely key for them. The same way we want Stefan to be key for us. They're very similar in that respect. And I think we replace him with another goalkeeper, we notice a difference. There's other teams in the Championship now, I think, try to do the same thing. Swansea being a good example of it, but none of their goalkeepers are on that same kind of level as Stefan distribution-wise. So, yeah, I understand, you know, why some people have mini heart attacks when he's trying to play the ball out from the back. But at the end of the day, it's key to what we're trying to do, and he's very good at it. So I don't enjoy reading the criticism or hearing it in the stands every game. It just gets on my nerves a little bit.
It's like that John Stones syndrome, isn't it? When he was at Everton and he was playing the ball in risky areas and he was not launching it as Everton fans were typically used to see. And it's like this newness that's kind of scary, and it latches on that anxiety of a football fan. But there's no other goalkeeper that I would rather be in between the sticks playing the way that Carrick wants than Zach Steffen, because he is brilliant at his distribution. He will ping those balls with such ease towards that, you know, right or left hand side, and where I can play from there. I think a lot of people feel like he's, I don't know what the word is, maybe lackluster or a little bit
like that.
But I think it's just him being a shooter, because he knows that what he wants to do, and he's calm in it, and he's a shooter. And I think people get that mixed up with him being lackadaisical and things like that. But yeah, I've done a full 180 on Zach Steffen, and I think he is a really good goalkeeper for us to have in terms of playing out from the back. Where I'm a little bit cautious of is his ability to command his area from balls in the box. We saw a situation yesterday where he tried to punch it out, and it sort of hits his thumb almost, and fortunately for Borough, it doesn't end up in a goal for Millwall. But that's probably where his weakness is. His strength is his distribution. And to put it simply, people that have these nerves around Zach Steffen are just going to have to get used to it, because you can say bring Liam Roberts in. If you bring Liam Roberts in, he will crumble playing the way that Michael Carrick wants. So he's the first part of our attack, obviously the last line of defence, but he's so important. He's integral even to the way that we play. So I like Steffen. I will defend Steffen now, even though I was not a fan of him earlier in the season, because I've seen the way that we play. It's clearly how Michael Carrick wants to set up this team, and he's good. He's good in it. He's going to make mistakes. It's going to happen. But what I really love Carrick saying yesterday is when there's those nerves, when we do have a little bit of a wobble, just keep at it. Borough, far too many times on and off the pitch, have hit that big red reset button. And as a fan, I'm sick of seeing that. So I am loving the fact that Michael Carrick is drilling into these players. Keep at it. Trust this process, and we will benefit from it in the mid to long term. So hats off to Carrick for that.
Yeah, and the way Steffen's plays as well, it's all about break and press and creating space for our wingers to get forward. And, you know, and playing out from the back is something that, you know, all probably the best teams do now. But it is, you know, it's been this principle from a few teams now. But in terms of like how Steffen's distribution is really good, I never see him give the ball away, which is mad. Even if it's like a long kick or the short kick, playing the ball at the house, and you switch, you know, I think we're house and try to play it back out of Fry. He takes 3 men out of the game, where we'll get forward in behind of that. But you know, it just didn't really work out yesterday. But Housen did actually ask for the ball. You could see him like really asking for it to try and spread out. But yeah, in terms of Steffen, like we can manage like his weaknesses ever so slightly, I think, with our defenders as well, because when we go off across, just play a little bit deeper. Do you know what I mean? Like just to make sure we can get the ball away from Fry and Lenihan, try and command it that way. And you know, there's like, I don't really understand, to be honest, why people frustrated, but for me, he's a good goalkeeper. You know, I'd take him on a permanent any day. And he's really, really, really good at what he does. But in terms of like Liam Roberts, yeah, like you were saying that, Dana, distribution was poor from Roberts, but he commands his box well. So it's like, what do you want from a goalkeeper? If you want to play a possession style, then up to Stefan. If you want to play a team that tries to beat a press with more of a long ball, then up to Roberts. But both equally good goalkeepers. The pros are different for each goalkeeper. So it's how you want to see it and how you want to play the game. It's highly dependent on what people's opinions are, but I would opt to Stefan. Next question, it's from Ben, and he says, would you give Housen another year, even if we're looking at a longer-term replacement? Won't be many better squad players. He's not showing any signs of progressing under Carrick. Tom, would you give Johnny Housen another year?
Well, yeah, because he still seems to be like aging backwards, really. He's not really showing any signs of the age that he is and, you know, getting on. And that's not to say getting on, like Maddo was saying, Paddy McNair was getting on yesterday at the ripe old age of 27. I'm pretty sure Housen's 34, but... No, he still seems as kind of good as he ever was, and he's got a different role in the team than I think he would have been promised when we initially first signed him all them years ago. But he's still playing to that championship standards. You know, you'd still be a bit wary if he was out of the team and say Mort came in for a game or something, you'd be like, oh, is Housen okay? And I think that it just goes to show how well he has been playing this season. So yeah, I think as long as he can play and as long as he can go, give him another year.
Yeah, like Barry Bannon at Sheffield Wednesday, he just keeps on playing and he keeps getting better every year. But Housen, yeah, I would. Next year, if we're going to keep him about, you know what I mean, we've got to replace him, I think, to some extent. You know what I mean? Like, when we were playing against better opposition, he does get found out a little bit, but, you know, it's normal to have that. But, yeah, for me, we've got to try and replace him and keep him around the group because I think he does a lot off the pitch than he does on it as well. And then the final question, Dana, it's from Charles, and he says, which team do you fear the more stopping us if we get into the playoffs? Mine would be West Brom or Jalvian. Who do you think?
Dana. I agree with West Brom. I do, because when Corberan took his Huddersfield team to the Riverside last season, he did a job on us. And I think he's the type of manager that can be flexible with the game plan and sort of use it to combat the opposition. So I'd be wary of them, but also Watford, because Watford have the best player in the league in João Pedro, who I know is out injured at the moment, but will probably be back if they get into the playoffs. And our record at Vicarage Road is bad. I was looking at it. 2 wins in 11 games there. The last time that we beat them was 2012 when Scott McDonald came back out from the cold. Marvin Emner scored and then Scott McDonald got the winner in a 2-1 win. So, yeah, I think West Brom and Watford for me.
Yeah, it's really difficult, isn't it? It's really difficult this year. Tom, it would be your fear.
Well, I definitely agree with West Brom, and for the same reason Dana's just said there, Corbyn's a fantastic manager, and I would be worried about coming up against him again. The other one, which might be a little bit out there at the moment, but having seen the way they played under a new manager yesterday, I would think if they're getting a new manager bounce and going on till the end of the season playing like that, they might be a bit of a worry for anyone in the playoffs, is Norwich. I think, you know, under Wagner yesterday, they won 4-0 away at Preston. Some of the goals they scored were, you know, absolutely fantastic. And I think it's a very similar case to what I've said about us when Wilder left and Carrick had came in. Those players don't become bad overnight. There's something else going on there. And then to look at the way they played yesterday, you know, Pookie scoring again and stuff like that. You know, eventually they're going to pick up and start playing to their full potential again. So I would say that would be a worry to anyone in the playoffs. But it's just the case now, isn't it, that, you know, teams picking up form at the right time going into the end of the season. So, you know, will they maintain it? Will we maintain it? You know, who knows? Mm.
Okay, then. Well, let's move on to the praise and place then, because the praise and place is the place we like to give praise to a fan of Coach, Teesside Tom, our Tom Dinamo on BBC TV.
Johnny Bullock.
No, I'm not giving myself praise. I have to earn it first on this. I need let me present this first, and I'll give myself praise afterwards. But on the Fraser Place, then, who are we going to give praise to? Dana Malt, who is your person in, or person, or thing, or anything in between in your Fraser Place today?
Well, I already said mine earlier, didn't I, to Brad Pom, the Championship Player of the Month. Despite not scoring yesterday, he was just really, really good. Much like how I said last week about his performance against Blackburn. I always got to say Blackpool instead of Blackburn. But brilliant, you know, it didn't score, but still just patches and stitches up those patterns of play. You can tell he knows exactly where his teammates are, and he is so, so influential on this unit. So yeah, for me, it's Tubrat Pom. The loving with him is just absolutely brilliant. It's so wholesome. There's no more popular goal scorer than Tubrat Pom. And I know obviously he didn't get on the score sheet against Millwall, but still hugely important to the way that we play. So yeah, Tubrat Pom gets in there.
Tom, who gets your place this week?
So for me this week, it's Dale Fry. I thought he was absolutely excellent yesterday and really embodied that resoluteness I was on about earlier, where we were hanging on to the lead. He was getting his head onto absolutely everything. And what I will say as well, you know, he's been playing since Luton with a face mask on. And I think it's easy when you're playing football and playing through an injury to kind of shy away from things. No, Johnny, I'm sure you'll have stories of playing with injuries as well. But
thanks for the dig.
I've been
yabby over here.
I know, yeah.
I was going to say, I've played with like broken fingers before, and I think it's tempting when you're trying to block a shot, like stick your hand behind your back or something so you're not getting in the way. But for him to be playing with a clear facial injury and still wanting to get his head onto everything, I think that just shows like such a bravery on the pitch, and it doesn't look like that actually affects him at all. I think just add on to that, like yesterday was his 200th game. Just, I thought he was absolutely phenomenal yesterday.
He's like a 6 foot Dale Mysterio with a mask on, isn't he?
Oh, he's bigger than that. I've never felt so small as to when I've stood next to Dale Fry.
Yeah. I mean, he's definitely taller than 6 foot one and either Mark Bowler. But just want to go on the warm up watch yesterday. Mark Bowler is not 6 foot one at all. in terms of my praise and place, I'm going to go with Marcus Force. In on the goals again. I love Marcus Force to bits. I think he's great. He's just really, really good in the box. And I know he was a development signing in the summer, and you know, we didn't expect him to maybe play one or two games and go out on loan and ply his trade, even though he'd been playing in the Premier League in the prior season. But he's been really, really good. He's been really good. Just the way that he can come in on the back of the box, but then also getting behind and really manipulate defenses, and it's really, really good to see. And I also think we should create a chance for Marcus Force. But like, you know, like Ted Lasso, where it's Jamie Tart, Marcus Force. It is catchy, and it will click on. It will catch on. I'm telling you right now. But anyway, enough for the praise and place. Let's look ahead to the Teesway Derby then, because we do have a show coming later on this week. With Graham from What the Folk podcast, where Tom, you'll be presenting and giving a full lowdown on the game. But in terms of where Sunderland are this season, they are 10th in the Championship under Tony Mowbray. They had a few injuries, a couple of suspensions here and there, but they're 8th in the form table with 2 wins, 2 draws, and 2 defeats from the last 6. But a more in-depth show coming later on in the week, but we'll do our predictions right now. How are we feeling about this? Because the game on Sunday has probably quite a bit riding on it now. Obviously, the start of the season when we played them the first time, we were looking for a win, and then we finally got one under Chris Wilder, and we played relatively okay on the night. But it was a big relief to get it. But now we're 4th and just absolutely flying. Dana, what's your prediction against Sunderland on Sunday?
Oh, I'm nervous about this one, because I feel like although Sunderland are going well, I know obviously they got beat yesterday, but I just feel like form and league table goes out the window with these games that have a little bit of bite. I don't care what Sunderland fans say, there is a narrative behind this game. it is a derby, although it's not the derby for them, it's still a derby. I'm nervous, but then I'm thinking, why should I be nervous? Because we've seen progression under Carrick, whereby, as I said, even if we get that little pushback, we can bounce back really well. So I've got a stat on the screen that I'm not going to say, because I'll be bringing back the malt curse. I'm not bringing back the malt curse. But I think we will. I'm sort of nervous and confident at the same time. It's very odd. But yeah, I think we will get the win. I don't think it's going to be a swashbuckling display. I think it is going to be tight. For me, I'm going to go with 2-1 Middlesbrough.
2-1 Middlesbrough for Dana. You could tell me this thing you don't want to mention, Dana. I can call it the Bullock bet if you want, and we'll say put this on because it's probably going to happen.
Shall I send it to you?
You can. I might put it in at the end. Who knows? Tom, what do you think? What's your prediction?
I'm also going to go with 2-1. I agree with what Dana's just said there. I think form and everything else can go out the window in a derby game. For me, I just see Ross Stewart scoring against us after we've been linked for him for both transfer windows this season. But I also think the kind of calmness that we've got in the team now, like that cohesion, I think that will... I think that will come into it. I think Carrick will have them set up for this game as if it was any other game, and I think we can get the win.
Okay, then. I think there'll be goals in the game. Dan, I'm not going to say the stat you've just sent to me because it probably will happen. But I think Borough will if you know what. If you're listening to this podcast, or you are viewing this podcast, let us know what you think this curse potentially could be. But in terms of where I think it'll be, I think we'll probably win. I'd probably take a 2-1 as well. You know, 3-0 for us. All three of us saying 2-1. I can see Sunderland scoring. They are playing quite well under Tony Mowbray. Amad Diallo has been sensational for them over like the last few weeks. Patrick Roberts has came into a lot of form as well. And it's quite nice for us that Ellis Sims has gone back to Everton and got a lot of smoke yesterday. Just being there for like 5 minutes. But I'm glad that he's kind of went back because he's a big, big problem for us if he was to play. But I'm glad he's not. But yeah, I think we'll win 2-1. I think they've got a couple of injuries as well, so I'm hoping we can get something there. But Danny Bartle being the squad at centre-half, and you know he's bound to have a great game since he's a Borough connection as well. And you know, Stuart will probably score. But you know, hopefully we win. But guys, thank you very much for joining me, as always. The listeners and the viewers, thank you very much for watching us and listening to us. And thank you for giving us 600 five-star reviews across Apple Podcasts and Spotify. We really do appreciate all of that. But if you haven't given us a review, please do. That helps us get found and other Borough fans find us and gets us up the podcast charts as well. But that's it. Borough win 4 in a row, 7 wins in 8. Marcus Foster, do-do-do-do-do. Marcus Foster, do-do-do-do-do. It's been the Borough Breakdown podcast, and that was all your Borough Mash Day chatter in a pod up the Borough Breakdown.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.